The 2010-2011 Canucks offer a lot on the ice. However, with the possible exceptions of Yannick Hansen being called the Great Dane and Sammy Salo having balls of steel, they don't really offer a lot in the whole nickname department. We at Pucked in the Head thought we'd look back over their illustrious, well, okay, mediocre 40-year history and pick out 7 of the top Vancouver Canuck nicknames. We invited a couple of our friends over. We apologize if we talk over one another, as, quite frankly, we're just 4 idiots having a beer. But we hope you'll enjoy it anyway. Here's part 1 of our 2-parter on the best Vancouver Canuck nicknames of all time.
Neener.
All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. We are here for our 3rd episode of Nicknames. We previously did top goaltender nicknames of all time, the top skater nicknames of all time, and now we're here to talk about the top 7 Vancouver Canuck nicknames in their 40-year history. My name's Jason Carello. I'm here with my friend Chris Withers.
Jason, always good to be here. And sadly, seven names on this list, none of them made our top skater or goalie nicknames.
There were one or two that we had arguments for, but we just decided, you know what? Like most of the Canucks' history, the best in team history was not good enough to make league history.
Yeah, so we're going to go through this top 7 list. We had a little bit of a debate over the order in which they should be placed.
Well, before we get into the order, I'd like to introduce, we do have 2 guests with us today.
And I was just going to lead into that, Jason, because they are going to be moderating for us, preventing us from coming to blows. So welcome here to Kennedy.
Kennedy Goodkey.
Yeah, there you go.
Happy to be at ringside.
All right.
Are you going to ring the bell for us?
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. There we go. And Rob Tarswell.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. And today, you don't need to give us a scientific opinion about nicknames, unless you happen to have some.
I'm afraid I don't.
So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't even be very afraid. Just bringing in your hockey memories to the table with no scientific know-how whatsoever.
Excellent.
Okay, Kennedy's going to give us all the science.
The science of nicknames.
There we go. Shall we just get down to it?
Sure. Let's lead it off with number 7.
Number 7.
This one is in number 7 against my express wishes.
You wanted this to be number 3. I wanted it to not be on the list.
Well, you are strangely against alliterative nicknames.
I don't like them.
You don't like the Finnish Flash?
Finnish Flash, not a fan.
Okay.
I'd rather just call him Timu.
That's his name. That's boring.
Timu's a pretty cool name.
It's a pretty good name. Solani's not bad either.
Yeah, Solani's
like,
pretty
he's
good.
He's got a wicked name. Why, he doesn't need a nickname. He's got a great name. It's like Tore, what was his name? Tore Vikingstad? That's a great
name.
That
is a great name.
You don't need a nickname. We're done.
Can we at least agree? Because I know there are some people out there who don't think that calling this guy, well, first of all, let's go with the name. Pavel Bure, the Russian Rocket. A number of
Yawn.
People.
Number 7.
A number of people out there don't like that he was compared to Maurice Richard.
I don't care about that. Yeah. I don't think that an homage to Maurice Richard is what they were trying to do. I just think it was lazy.
I don't think it's a particularly interesting name, honestly.
Russian Rocket.
Yeah, I think it's actually a little easy.
Yeah, it's lazy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
The Pocket Rocket, the Russian Rocket.
I think when he broke into the league, there were 2, and then there were 3, and I think that's where it should have ended. But now you've got people trying to come up with new variations that just don't make any sense. Well, Sergei Shirokov, there was a movement to call him the Pocket Russian Rocket.
Oh, dear God.
I've not heard that before. I dislike it.
I dislike it, too.
Is there a dislike button that I can put on that? Dislike.
You know, and even if you look at Russian rocketry, you know, there's nothing pocket about any of that.
No.
Giant huge, space rockets.
Massive. If someone took Russian rocket and then switched it up, and what was the name of the famous Russian rocket again? What was it?
Oh.
Which one?
The first one.
I don't know what the actual rocket was.
Oh, you mean the satellite?
Yeah.
The Sputnik.
Sputnik. Yeah. Now, if they call them Sputnik, I'm all behind it.
That's not bad, actually.
You call Pavel Bure Sputnik, he's on the list.
Oh, you've got a concession from your foe.
I do have a concession. That would be an excellent nickname. That would, have made our top seven skater.
Can we retroactively nickname him?
Let's figure out which Russian needs the nickname Sputnik.
Oh.
Let's do it. Let's start it right here, right now. Pucked in the head, officially dubs.
I'd have to go with Tretiak.
Alexander Salmon?
Yeah.
You know what?
Still not playing.
Sputnik was a satellite. It was communicative. It wasn't really physical.
It was the first Russian thing that actually flew over North America and inspired the imaginations and households and lives.
But wasn't
That's
it
why
also,
I would go with Tretiak.
But wasn't it also somewhat faulty? Like, didn't it have a long tradition of mechanical problems?
I don't think so.
I think
it was just a little satellite that was meant to just pump out an AM radio signal.
Exactly. Right? Its job was to go up and say, hey, we're out here before you. Yeah, exactly.
Here we are.
It was mission accomplished.
It was actually broadcasting. It was actually broadcasting on the AM frequency, neener, neener, neener.
Neener in Russian. What is the Russian for neener, neener?
I don't know.
I think Tretiak is neener, neener, neener in Russian. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you just lower your voice. Neener, neener, neener.
Yes.
But then again, you're Tretiak. You don't need a nickname.
All right, so are we gonna name a current NHL player Sputnik, or are we going to go with Tretiak?
Wow.
I suppose Mir is another option.
Mir.
Alexander Salmon could be Mir.
Hmm.
The way he just stands there and kind of
he's stationary.
Orbits the goal.
Stationary.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Stationary. Ah, I see.
And you know
the way he strands other Russians in.
And why not call the Russian rocket the
empty
cosmonaut?
Space.
See, I could get behind cosmonaut.
For the Russian. That's a great name.
I don't think that would have made the list, but that's not bad either.
All I'm saying is the Russian rocket, lazy nickname for this hockey fan. Pavel Bure himself electrified the city. The first real superstar in the Canucks, he needs an excellent nickname. And the Russian Rocket, in my opinion, is not it.
Although I will say, there were certainly times when I'd be driving my car listening to Harry Neal's broadcast, when that rise in his voice would go up.
And the Russian Rocket scores!
You mean Jim Robson?
Sorry, Jim Robson, Harry Neal on CBC, yeah.
Right.
That rise in Robson's voice. And something was about to happen, and boom.
He was electric, man. I still remember that first game when he played against the Winnipeg Jets. This young kid, nobody knew anything about him, and he went around Randy Carlyle. Went around Randy Carlyle, I think it was. Went around him like he was standing freaking still. And the whole city just went, oh.
What have we got here?
This is going to be fun, folks. And it was.
Certainly one of the two biggest draft coups in Canucks history.
Next to
Sedins.
The trade to bring the second Sedin.
Yeah.
Which we will talk about in our forthcoming Top Canucks Trades episode. Yeah. Okay, number six on the nicknames list. You don't remember this fella, Chris, because you are but a babe in arms.
Yes.
Strangely, you have more facial hair than I could hope to grow. But Gary Bromley probably had the greatest goalie mask in Canuck history.
That, you know what, that goalie mask is among the best in NHL history.
He was nicknamed Bones. And because he was nicknamed Bones, he got a skull painted on the front of his mask. And this was the old fiberglass mask that covered your whole face. And he had a full skull painted on the front. It looked like something out of one of those low-budget horror films. And he kept it only for about half a season. They got complaints from parents that he was scaring the children in the stands.
Oh, wow.
So he ditched it because he didn't want to scare the kids.
Now, was that chronologically accurate? Did he get the nickname and then the mask? Or did he get the mask and then...
No, he got the nickname first.
And how did he get that?
I do not have that information.
What season
he was a big Star Trek fan.
I guess so.
There we go. No. Yes.
What Damn it, Jim, I'm a goalie.
Not a magician.
What season was it that he had that mask?
Between 71 and 82, he played for the Buffalo Sabres and the Vancouver Canucks.
Huh.
Expansion cousins there. And he also played in the WHA for the Calgary Cowboys and the Winnipeg Jets. But it was a great mask. Gary Bones Bromley, number six on our list of best nicknames of all time. And we've got a little picture there for you if you want to take a look. So it was...
Oh, that is scary. I bet you when I was 8 years old, my mother wrote in that he should have.
It was my mom. Damn you,
because I went running from CBUFD Colombie Britannique.
Well, look, it's a killer V. It must have been 82.
Yeah.
Or before 82.
When did they
look at the jersey. When did the killer V start coming
again,
in?
Again, I don't have the years in front of me of that jersey, but...
Well, 82, they went to the Cup with that jersey, so... Yeah.
Well, it says here that his regular seasons in the NHL, 78, 79, 79, 80, and 80, 81.
Uh-huh.
So there we go.
Well, I hear that there's this global resource that you can tap into that has information
specific
on it.
Information?
If only there was some way to access this through some sort of electronic device with maybe a keypad that we could enter our query into it and that information come back to us.
Talk about Star Trek.
In a graphical kind of, you know, display of some kind.
1980.
This is, and
here's a really great shot.
Ah!
This might be worth putting on.
Oh my goodness.
Do you guys have a website?
That is going front and center.
Not only is it dated from the fact that it was a fiberglass mask and he was wearing the flying Vs for the Canucks, it was also dated by the fact that people could afford to take their children to the games.
This is clearly the Pacific Coliseum era.
Yes. All right, so that was number six, Gary Bones Bromley. Going on to number five, I've got a little bit of trivia for you guys. And Chris, you can't answer this because you've just looked over my shoulder to see it written down there. Not too long ago, Roberto Luongo took over the Vancouver Canucks team record for the longest consecutive shutout minutes. And he went to 210 minutes and 34 seconds, so almost 3.5 games that he played of shutout hockey. He took over the record from a goaltender who only played two seasons with the Vancouver Canucks. Do you know who this is?
I remember reading it when he beat the record, and no, I don't. Ooh.
And I spent about a week trying to search for information. I actually spoke with Nicole Van Zansen at the Vancouver Canucks asking for information on this fellow, and I just can't find any. She didn't have any even at the team.
Wow, they've actually wiped all records of him from their database like some sort of Orwellian dictatorship.
Yes, he has been...
disremembered.
Subsumed by the Matrix.
the previous wearer of number 11.
Roberto Luongo has always been in goal.
since the team's inception, it's been Roberto Luongo. He played for the WHA San Diego Mariners. He played for the Vancouver Canucks, of course. He also played in the AHL for the Baltimore Clippers. And his name, in the CIAU for the Guelph Griffins.
Not many NHL players have come up through the Canadian University Sporting System.
CIAU. His name was Ken Lockett.
Wow.
Ken Lockett. Not a rocket.
Now, he had consecutive shutouts in a home-and-home against the California Golden Seals.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Where are they now?
Yeah.
Incidentally, Dallas.
Oh, is that who they ended up being?
Strangely, still called the California Golden Seals. He was a backup to Gary Smith, who will also appear on this list, as a matter of fact. Ken Spider Lockett.
Spider's a dumb name.
His nickname was Spider because of his way of playing and the fact that his arms and legs were all over the place.
He was like a proto-Hasek.
He was exactly a proto-Hasek. Of arms and legs all over the place?
Spider. And a big gangly goalie.
Yeah.
But I really faint. It's all I got.
Even though I was trying to find it, I couldn't find anything about other than a very brief Wikipedia entry.
Weird.
That's all I was able to find.
What years? I'm curious.
So he played for the Vancouver Canucks in 1974-75 and 75-76. He played a total of 55 games for the Vancouver Canucks. It says games played 55. Win-loss record 13-15-8.
What?
He made a lot of appearances in games where Gary Smith started and got pulled and he went in for the third period, for example. Or where Gary Smith was fighting a guy and ended up, right?
No.
He ended
and
up,
what does he have to speak for? A nickname.
a nickname, and until very recently, until 2007, when Roberto Luongo took it. So he had, for 32 years, he had the Vancouver Canucks record for the longest shutout streak.
Can you imagine, be it, like, what happened then? Did they, you know, they said, okay, you know, we got to give Gary a break, so, all right, put Spider in, and they got the shutout streak, or got a shutout, and they're like, well, you know,
well,
he had
a
good
home
game,
and home.
We should probably put him in again.
That's exactly what happened.
And then they're going, oh, man, now we have to put him in again. This is going to fall apart at any moment.
So what happened was he got the shutout against the Golden Seals here in Vancouver. It was a 7-0 victory for the Canucks.
Oh,
at the time, that was the biggest win in franchise history.
Wow.
So they had to go with him the next day.
Yeah.
Got the shutout in California again. And the next
game... That must have been really sort of bittersweet for him.
It was... Why is that?
Didn't he play for the Seals at some point? Didn't
he? No, he played... He subsequently played for the San Diego Mariners.
Oh, okay. I'm totally confusing what we're talking about. Never mind.
But, so he got the back-to-back shutouts, played the next game in L.A., and L.A. broke the shutout bid about a minute and a half into the game. Gary played the rest of the season, pretty much.
Wow.
So, 32 years that record stood.
Ken Lockett.
Number four,
Jeff Cowan was one of these players who the Canucks seemed to go through very regularly, fourth line grinder type, picked up on waivers, and I think we just didn't re-sign him when his contract ran.
So he was Tanner Glass of the day. He was...
Harold Druckin.
Harold Druckin, nicely
Harold
done.
Druckin. I don't think he was at Tanner Glass's level.
He was Rick Rippon.
Yeah.
Basically.
He was brought in basically to scrap and to bang and crash and play on the fourth line.
And he did bang and crash well, so I like that part of his game. Not a big fan of the scrapping, as we mentioned in a previous podcast.
However, in 2006-2007, he was promoted very briefly to play with the Sedin Twins. There was an injury. There was a need for a right-handed shot to fill that spot on the Sedin line. And he ended up scoring 6 goals over the course of 4 games when he played with the Twins, cementing their legacy as...
Kingmakers?
Kingmakers. Proving that you or I, Jason, could go out there and score a couple of goals with the Sedins.
Take that, Carter.
During one of those games, a somewhat overzealous fan removed her bra, or...
A somewhat overweight... overzealous fan.
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't actually see her.
Neither did I. I only saw what you're about to talk
about.
Okay.
Removed her brassiere and threw it over the glass onto the ice following a Cowan goal. Subsequently, Jeff Cowan was named Cowan the Brabarian.
And even though he was very short-lived as a Vancouver Canuck, the memory of that event and the nickname that followed definitely deserved to be on this list.
I have his Wikipedia entry here, and I'm just glancing through it. The celebration was popularized among fans. There were subsequent bras thrown onto the ice after Cowan goals.
I know a friend who took a bra to the game just so he could throw it on the ice.
Just so he could throw it onto the ice.
And we did hear the lamentations of their women.
And also, the Canucks ended up signing a bra that was auctioned off to raise money for breast cancer research.
Wow.
So much good came...
So there's a good legacy behind that.
Yeah.
You know, well-earned nickname.
Much good came of number four, Jeff Cowan the Brabarian.
And where exactly is Jeff Cowan now? Do we have anything in that Wikipedia entry about that?
A Canadian professional ice hockey player who is currently a left winger for the Toronto Marlies of the American Hockey League.
Really?
Really.
I didn't know that he was still in one of the NHL systems.
Yeah.
He's also played for that Titan, the Roanoke Express of the East Coast Hockey League, and the St. John Flames of the AHL.
Wow.
Alrighty.
Well, that seems like a good a time as any to cut this right in half. And we'll be back next time around with the top 3 Vancouver Canucks nicknames of all time. Don't forget to pick up a Ryan Kessler signed jersey raffle ticket. Just $10. Half of it goes to charity. Half of it goes to better recording equipment for your listening pleasure. You can go to puckedinthehead.com, click on the raffle, and request your tickets right there. You can also contact me on Twitter, @PuckedInTheHead. We'll be happy to take care of you there. Hope you have a good one. May all of your playoff runs be deep runs.
Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab, been left put by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman, and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seemed so strange. Time for a
strangely anti what's the word I'm looking for?
Against? You're looking for the word against?
I am not looking for the word against. I am
for
looking
a noun
for,
or
yeah. Can I buy
alliterative?
Get on with it!
You are strangely against alliterative nicknames.
I don't like them!
Got a player who didn't have a nickname but did attract a song to his attention, if you remember. Do you remember the Krutov song?
No.
They slightly rewrote the lyrics of the Too Fat Polka after Krutov discovered the Big Mac. I don't want him. You can have him. He's too fat for me. He's too fat for me. He's too fat for me.
Funny.
This would lead into a Canuck or a Canuck hockey songs series. There's a great song called "What's Wrong with Lume."
He's play and oh no.
It's very, very funny. He's skating the wrong way and just there's lots of stuff in the song. Yeah.
Neener, neener, neener.